There's like a million ways we could go today, Barker. We obviously talk about the Jays and that 8-0 win. And the possibility of moving into first place in the American League East. It's all right. I'm ashamed that I even said that, because I never look at the schedule till the end of June. Possibility of moving ahead of the Red Sox. I'm going to leave it at that. I never look at the schedule. It doesn't matter if you're in first place on May 19th.
Sure does matter.
No, it does not.
Go ask a player.
Doesn't.
Sure does. Make any difference. That's one of the worst things you've ever said on this show.
And you doesn't make any difference if you're in first place. Oh, we're in first place on May 19th.
Well, it'd be better than saying we're in last place.
Would it make a...
It would make a huge difference. Yeah, if you're in last place or first place, it sure would.
Last place by 3 games. Holy first place by half a game. Whatever. Doesn't
you're
say...
You're not first, you're last, Jeff.
All right. Talk about that.
That is the worst thing you've ever said.
It's not the worst thing I've ever said. It doesn't matter. Who cares if you're in first place on whatever the hell day it is?
I'll bet you if you walked up to Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Teoscar Hernandez, Randall Grichuk, Kevin Biggio, Hyunjin Ryu. I can keep going here.
I just wanted to move on from this, and you're just burying me. You don't have to bury me.
If they want, if they like being in first place, top of the mountain in the American League East.
Oh yeah, and on Maine. And good news, boys, they've only got 115 games to go. Yeah,
it's never too early to be in first place, Jeff.
That's not true.
That's 1,000% true.
That's how you. That's
okay,
how you
I'll
finish.
Let it go
not
now. Anyhow, how do you feel about that comment you made?
Nah, I could have lied about it. It is walk off Wednesday, by the way, so you can call us at 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. Say Blair.
That is the dumbest thing you've ever said, Jeff.
Blair, that is full-scale 100% jackassery in your part. Please feel free to say that. 590-590 is a text line. Maybe you agree with me. The point being that we'll talk about that. We got to talk about Tony La Russa. And look, Chase Tingler of the San Diego Padres. Remember last year got into trouble because he failed to defend Manny Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Tony. The La Russa thing, the La Russa thing really bugs me, because he threw his player under the bus, but he also had a point. He just didn't express it properly, which we will do when we discuss it.
What happens in the clubhouse stays in
that's
the clubhouse.
That's not. It's not just that. And then, of course, we got to talk about a no-hitter.
Of course there was.
And you've got an interesting comparable. When you talk about the dude that threw the no-hitter last night,
yeah,
you said to me, he reminds you of Nate Pearson.
We'll talk about that.
We will talk about that. But right now, so we got a lot of stuff, 416-870, ton of stuff. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590, 590 is a text line. Make it smart, make it good, make it concise, and you can host this show. No, I'm just kidding. Make it smart, make it good, make it concise, and we'll let you walk us off. And who the hell knows? You may be, in fact, hosting the show at some point very soon.
It could happen.
You just did.
Yeah.
Pass card works. Life is good. We got to talk about the fourth inning. 8-0, Jays hitting up a storm. Great. Barker and I were talking about this off air. I look at that. I close my eyes and I imagine that team with Luis Castillo or another really good starting pitcher, and I'm going, World Series.
You mean the Blue Jays?
Blue Jays, yeah. Yeah. I close my eyes, I look at that lineup and go, give me a really good, somebody as good or even better than Hyunjin Ryu. Give me another guy so that Robbie Ray's my third guy. I'm talking World Series. But we got to talk about the fourth inning. The fourth inning, to me, yesterday, last night, was when that game was won. Now, it's 1-0 Jays, yep. Top of four. Alex Verdugo doubles on a line drive, right, to yeah. Teoscar Hernandez.
Change up basically.
Tell
right
me Teoscar Hernandez can't wait to get his ass out of Dunedin, at least when it comes to playing in the field there. Anyhow,
yep.
Double the right fielder, Teoscar Hernandez. This is the meat of a very good order coming up right now.
Second time through, too.
Second time
That's
through.
That's a big deal.
Second
That's
time
it.
Through.
Yep.
So Verdugo doubles on a line drive to right fielder, Teoscar Hernandez. I'm thinking, okay, this gets interesting. J.D. Martinez comes up. First pitch, ground out.
Yep.
Santiago Espinal. Then now you got Bogarts and you got Devers. We spent all day yesterday talking about Bogarts and Devers and how good the numbers speak for themselves.
They don't lie to them.
3-2 to Bogaerts. Single. Now Verdugo's on third. Rafael Devers, 3-2 pitch, pops up the Bo Bichette. Then Christian Vasquez, 3-2, flies out to Lourdes Gurriel.
Yeah, well,
talk to me about, because that is, it's 1-0. You get out of that inning. You put three up. It's now 4-0. Basically, the swing there could have easily been tied, or the Red Sox leading by one run going into the bottom of the fourth. Instead, boom.
Yeah, well,
4-0, 5-0, 6-0.
There is at bats where you see Ryu and Danny Jansen just really churning between the ears to figure out how to throw certain guys, and you got three batters there in a row that they were really working hard on figuring out how to get through. And it starts with Bogaerts. We mentioned how tough of an at bat he is, and what the score was, and you know it's the second time in that game that they had seen. Mm-hmm. Ryu and which way the pitches are going and how he's trying to add and subtract and which way he's trying to get them out and what's Ryu doing and what's Danny Jansen doing. And you can see Ryu occasionally, you know, I've noticed that say the further he'll walk towards Danny after, say, he throws a pitch, a ball's fouled off, you know, Bogaerts' case yesterday was a foul ball off his shin or whatever it was, and he had a little bit of time there to walk around. But it's that time between when he throws the pitch and he's walking towards Danny, and he'll turn around and you can see actually Danny going through all of these things. Like he'll open up that little wristband that he's got. He's trying to think about, okay, we were trying to get Bogaerts out on a
force. The GPS, right?
He's trying to think about all these things. Now we've thrown him the sinker. We've thrown him the cutter. We've thrown him the curveball. We've thrown him the changeup. Well, you know, we want to get him out with a slow curveball because we won't solve contact with a runner on second base. And now we're behind in the count. How do we get back in the count? Can we use our changeup? Can we backdoor a cutter? Can we elevate a four-seamer? All of these things are going through. You can see Danny Jansen back there just thinking, okay, we had this game plan, and now Bogaerts has just went and screwed it all up by, you know, either fouling it off or he took it or whatever the case was. And it just, you see parts of games when the two are just trying to work so hard. Because, again, you think about it. He's left-handed. He throws 89 miles an hour. Now, he'll touch 91 occasionally, but it's basically 89 miles an hour. And he's trying to do it with four different pitches. Now, what was it last night? He did the four-seamer, the changeup, and the cutter, and he sprinkled the curveball last night. Now, a lot of the times it will be the way he'll sprinkle the changeup, he'll sprinkle the cutter, that's the way he mixes it in, right? He tries to go both sides of the plate with the four-seamer, elevate the four-seamer, but he'll sprinkle one of the three secondary pitches, and he'll use two of those secondary pitches a lot. Look, sometimes really good pitchers get lucky. The 3-2 hanging breaking ball to Christian Vasquez, after he got, you know, he got a couple of tough outs there, and then with two outs, he got the 3-2 count, and he hung the breaking ball to Christian Vasquez. And then occasionally a really good pitcher gets luckier than a really bad pitcher. The wind's blowing in 1,000 miles an hour to left field. That's a three-run homer. If that's 3-1, that's a totally different game.
Completely.
But it just seemed like after that, after he got through that tough part of the order the second time through, then it got back to the sequences of, now I can get them out on their front foot. I can get some weak contact. I can be efficient. Efficient means rolling into the eighth inning, he had 85 pitches.
Yep.
It's just to see those two guys working. And, oh, by the way, this is the first time I'm going to do this on the show, and this will probably be the last time I do it. Alfonso Marquez, the home plate umpire, was outstanding.
Oh, my God, Barker.
That's the best umpiring job behind the plate, both sides. Eduardo Rodriguez is not the easiest guy to umpire against because, you know, last night what the Blue Jays saw the first time through was he wasn't going cutters in so much. He was trying to backdoor the cutter, and he was throwing more sinkers. He was trying to elevate fastball. He was trying to get him out on the front foot with the changeup. That's how the separation was between mile per hour with the changeup and the fastball. But he was trying to backdoor him, a little surprise, and get him out with the out in front on the sinker. So he changed it up a little bit, but look, the umpire Alfonso Marquez did just an excellent job of, you have to know up, down, in, and out with both of those guys. I didn't see him miss a strike or a ball. So it was an outstanding job with all the catchers, with the umpire, with the two starting pitchers. I don't know about you, but it was one of the best watch games I'd ever, not saying ever, but this year, with just what all the things were going on and how much it took for all of these guys to get through what they needed to get through. Look, if the Blue Jays can get somewhat halfway decent starting pitching with the lineup they have, and then they get George back hitting in the leadoff spot, You know, my 90 and 72, I might be selling them short. How about that? There you go. Why don't you push?
Thinking about it. I was thinking about it.
I mean, look, the lineup doesn't lie to you. It's pretty good. Now, who they're facing tonight and Garrett Richards, you know, he's got his mojo back. That crossfire action he's got, he's a big spin rate guy. He's spinning the four-seamer and the slider and the curveball. He's throwing strikes. What he's got in the last 25 innings, he's got 26 strikeouts and 5 walks. He's figured something out. This would be a nice little test for all them right-handed hitters. Can they stay with the same approach that they had last night on the sinker from a lefty? They had 14 out of the 18 hits were up the middle the other way. That's pretty good. Just saying, like, you have a lineup that all of a sudden thinks they're pretty good and they're taking what the pitcher gives them. Now, if you're Ross Atkins, what do? If you can match the offense and go add another starting pitcher, I don't know about that 90-win thing now.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. We will get to your calls. We will get to your texts. You talked about the Blue Jays going to the opposite field a lot, going up the middle. We always have this debate on this show about the shift, and I always tell you that when you come on and say it needs to be outlawed, I always take the non-player approach, and that is don't bother outlawing it, just learn how to hit out of the shift. And you tell me it's not that easy. I see the Blue Jays doing a fair amount of that right now, Mr. Barker.
Well, I think
I see the Blue Jays almost removing the shift away or not removing it as a factor. So tell me why that shouldn't happen more often.
Okay, let's back the truck up a little bit. The Blue Jays lineup's a little different than a lot of lineups. The lineup they have is really talented. You know, you got 6 guys now with Lourdes Gurriel Jr. hitting. That ain't too shabby. That can match up against anybody's lineup. When Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is sitting and Marcus Semien's doing what Marcus Semien's doing, and you can mix in all the other guys, the 4 guys in between that, in the middle of that order. Look, it's you know, you don't want to, you know, just get all excited with one game. But you continue to go over there, if you're the Blue Jays, it will straighten out shifts. They shift. It's like Danny Jansen. Well, Danny Jansen got a base hit to right field. Danny Jansen's hitting .120. And normally when Danny Jansen puts the ball in plays to the poolside, Danny Jansen, to get the shift to not have him on the poolside, he's going to have to continue to hit more balls to right field, and then he'll straighten it out a little bit more. That's why they have the shift, because more times than not, that's where they hit the ball. Blue Jays lineup's just different than most lineups. They can make adjustments. Again, this Garrett Richards tonight will be a really good test for them. He is a hard-throwing righty who can spin secondary pitches away from the right-handed hitter. Can they let that travel and hit that ball to right center? We're going to find out.
Aaron in Guelph on the text line. Everyone knows the Jays need 1 or 2 starting pitchers to be contenders. I think we can say 1.
I do too.
I've seen enough. I was in the add a couple arms camp. I think we've seen enough.
I'm okay with Matt being my 4th guy.
Yeah, and then you know what? I'll figure out the 5th between Zoik, K, Pearson,
guys.
Manoa, Hatch. Hatch is back pitching now for Buffalo. Hatch is going to be, well, you know what Pete Walker thinks about Hatch. Hatch is going to be here as soon as he can.
Yep.
As soon as he can.
Command a fastball.
Anyhow, do you think the Jays would consider trading Biggio or Gurriel for an ace? And if so, what pitchers would be in the Jays' radar? Aaron, thanks for the text. The rumors we heard in the offseason when it comes to non-free agent pitchers, were guys like Herman Marquez of the Rockies. Now, you'd be betting on a big bounce back from him right now. Herman Marquez of the Rockies, Luis Castillo of the Cincinnati Reds. We're talking about guys that have a little bit of control. At this point in time, we're not talking about rent-a pitchers. We're talking about guys you can bring in, keep within the organization for 3 or 4 years. And if you think about it a little bit, you've got Ryu for another year. You bring in one of those other guys. Now you end up with Pearson or Manoa making it next year. Maybe you re-sign Robbie Ray. I think you know where I'm going here in this.
Yep.
The team to keep an eye on, and I have felt this for a couple of years now, the team to keep an eye on is the Miami Marlins. They've got a lot of good young pitchers. In terms of position players, in terms of elite-level prospects, they could use one or two guys in their minor league system who would be capable of breaking into the majors.
And they need a starting outfielder.
And they need a starting outfielder. So, and they have pitchers. And ultimately, the Marlins are going to get to a point where they're not going to be able to afford all those pitchers. So those are kind of the three teams that I have my eye on. I know our friend John Paul Morosi talked about Juan Berríos with the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah. Is he a number one? He could match up with somebody else's number one that's in the playoffs. That's what you're going for. You got Ryu as your number two rolling into the playoffs. We're talking about playoff teams now. That's what you're going for. Because you're going to have to give up a prospect. You got eight of them in the top 100. You're going to have to give up one of them with a big leaguer. Who's that one going to be? Is it going to be a catcher? Is it going to be that shortstop that can play in Double-A, that can play shortstop in center field? Could it be that other guy in Groshans that can play third, short, and DH? Could it be Simeon Woods Richardson? It's going to have to be one of those with a big leaguer. If you're going to give up one of those and a big leaguer, it has to be one of those guys that can match up with some other team's number one.
Yep. So look, we heard in the past that Gurriel was a player they were willing, and his name was very much linked to any trade conversations involving the Cleveland Indians. My initial reaction to that was, I don't know if I'd really want to part with Lourdes Gurriel Jr., but based on what I see now, and by the way, don't forget, Teoscar Hernandez was going to play left field last night. I've talked about Teoscar in left, Grichuk in center, Springer in right when this thing comes back, and you said, why would you move Teoscar to left?
They have been playing him over there. He may be right.
I think that's the way they go, and if that is the point, because you do have Randall Grichuk for another couple of years, then maybe you do look at moving Lourdes Gurriel. The thing with Lourdes Gurriel is he's so cheap. And, yeah, that has value for a team you're trading him to, but it's also got value for this team. But look, Biggio, everybody in baseball views Kevin Biggio as a utility guy. You're not getting anything. Trading Kevin Biggio, he's not going to be the focal point of the deal.
And here, too, you're forgetting a guy. Marcus Semien might be a guy that could throw in a trade, too. Getting off to a hotter start. Yep. You don't really know where to put him, right?
Well, if your guys come up from the minors next year, you may not have a spot for Marcus Semien. He's a free agent.
There you go. So you have to ask yourself, we have no idea the answer to this. Are they going to re-sign him or not?
And they also flipped the little graphic up yesterday on MLB Network while we were on the air. Since 2019, since the start of the 2019 season, Marcus Semien's WAR is actually the best among free agent possible shortstops.
If you're not going to re-sign him, why would you keep him? Why not trade him and try and get one of your big-time starting pitchers?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So there are a lot of ways to go there. But, Aaron, thank you very much for the text. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 is a text line. Game 2 of the series goes tonight at 7:37. Jays can move into first place on May 19th. Let's have a parade. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
He made a mistake. So, there'll be a consequence that he has to endure here within our family. I took several steps from the dugout onto the field yelling, take, take, take. Because just the way he was set up, it looked to me like he was going to swing. And the whole time he's around the bases, I'm out there and I was upset because that's not a time to swing 3-0. And, I happened to look over there and I know the Twins knew that I was upset. It won't happen again because, Joe will be on the lookout and I will be too. And we'll go running in front of the pitcher. We have to. No, he's not going to do that again. I heard he said something like, I played my game, but no, he doesn't. He plays the game of Major League Baseball that respects the game, respects the opponents.
I remember last year when Fernando Tatis Jr. was taken out the woodshed by everybody because he had the audacity to have fun playing the game and Jace Tingler, his manager, came out and threw him under the bus, and the next day immediately had to backtrack because the pushback from everybody in the game was just... That was Tony La Russa, manager, still manager of the Chicago White Sox, talking about an incident two nights or a night previous, Monday, 16-4, the ninth inning of what would turn out to be a 16-4 win over the Minnesota Twins by the White Sox. Yermin Mercedes swung on a 3-0 pitch from Williams Astudillo in the ninth inning of the game. And, of course, the Twins threw behind him yesterday, and their pitcher was thrown out, and their manager was thrown out. And they did it basically because, frankly, Tony La Russa essentially invited them, invited the Twins to throw at his own player.
You should do it. That's what he said, basically.
You should do it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That, you know, again, we're dealing with these unwritten rules things, which is somebody in social media pointed out. It's probably a reason they're unwritten. It's because they're so damn stupid that nobody wants to put their name on it. Which,
there you go.
There you go.
Well said.
Let's talk about this situation because there are a couple of things at work here. The Minnesota Twins put a position player in the pitch and he threw a 47-mile-an-hour Ephus pitch. If that's me, I'm doing the same thing. I'm swinging. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're dumb enough to put a position player in, right?
Yeah.
And you're basically telling me that you're mailing in the game. I would argue, you know how I feel about position players pitching. I think there should be a rule against it.
I do too.
I think you should be required. You've got 150 freaking relievers down there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe find one that doesn't have a pulled groin or something.
There you go.
You know, get them to pitch
pull.
Or a pulled calf muscle. Find one of them. Get them to finish out the game.
Yeah.
Or use a starter or do something. So if you go ahead, if you're going to do what the Minnesota Twins did, I have no problem teeing off on the guy. Here's where I have an issue with what Yermin Mercedes did. And here's why Tony La Russa is exactly the wrong guy to be managing a baseball team in 2021. He was given the take sign. Joe McEwing, the third base coach of the White Sox, confirmed. One of the White Sox coaches confirmed we gave him the take sign. He swung after being given the take sign. He disobeyed what is essentially a direct rule, pardon me, from your manager.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's something that you should probably fine a guy for. But here's what you do if you're Tony La Russa. You go to the news conference and you say, we gave our guy the take sign. He swung. We're handling it internally. End of. Don't go into that's not how we play the game or yada yada, all that bull, you know. Don't go into all that bull.
Yeah.
Just say he disobeyed a rule. You know, he disobeyed something we wanted him to do. We are dealing with it internally. It won't happen again. Now, it may happen again. Who the hell knows? But the point is you don't throw your player under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You say to the other team, back off. I got this.
Yeah.
This is my business.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, and think of this team. You know, when Tony La Russa took over, the only reason he's managing the White Sox is he's a friend of the owner.
Yep.
He's already made a couple of really bad mistakes in games where he clearly didn't understand the rule.
Didn't know it. There.
Didn't know a rule and a double switch.
Yeah.
Did not know it.
Thought the pitcher had to run.
Exactly. Had no clue.
Yeah.
You're managing one of 30 major league teams. So, and I got to tell you this, my guess is right about now, at some point in the next couple of days, the White Sox players are going to have a meeting and they're going to say, you know what? Let's just, never mind what the old fart says. Let's just go ahead and kind of win this the way win it for ourselves. Guys have done that in the past.
Mm.
Sparker, I got to ask you, you played the game. No, you don't disobey the manager. If Tony La Russa was upset about that, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. But that is not something that you deal with by turning it into a bigger issue. All you have to say is he made a mistake. We're handling it.
See, first of all, if I'm managing that team, I never give a guy a take sign 3-0. I don't care who's pitching.
No, there's
that. I'm sorry.
That's the other side of the argument.
Hits are too hard to come by. And with that shift and it's how hard these guys throw and how much they throw secondary pitches and how much everybody strikes out. Look, you want to throw a position player at me? I'm going to go back leg city as much as I can. That home run counts just like any other home run counts. So that's the first thing. I'm with you. I can't add to anything that you just said because everything you said is exactly right. So if you got an issue, handle it within your clubhouse. Mm. You don't have to come out with the dirty laundry thing and yelling and screaming and throw your players under the bus. Don't do that. So I'm totally with you 100%. And then, look, I'll put you down for undecided on Tony La Russa.
Hey, he's on.
It's a little hard to handle. You know,
as one of the few people around here who's close to his age.
You are probably
give it up, old man. Get out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Get out of the game. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We haven't even talked about five no hit. I don't the no hitter thing. It's not look, I was the guy that was saying I like no hitters. But then five already. Stop. Enough with the no hitters.
Yeah.
Jason and Markham, you want to talk about the Blue Jays bullpen?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Jason.
Quick question. Actually, I have two questions for you. First one, couldn't understand for the life of me what DeLeese was doing up in that bullpen last night with the lead that we had. And it seemed the couple times they showed him, it seemed like he was letting it go pretty hard. And I've heard both of you guys mention, you know, one of Gibby's strengths was not getting guys up when they didn't intend to bring him in the game. I found that a little interesting. And I would also like your take on, you were talking about possible trade people. A guy I think they could get for very little, I just don't know if he's a big enough help, would be a return of Jay Happ.
Yeah.
Sort of wondering what you guys think of those two things.
Thanks for the question. You know, we had Tyler Chatwood on the other day, and he was talking about what a good job Charlie does managing the bullpen. You know what? I hate to say this because it sounds like an excuse. That's one of those things, if it's me, where I wait until Charlie has finished his post-game. If it were a normal world, Charlie does his post-game media availability up front on the lectern.
Yeah.
I wait for him to walk off and I go, Charlie, can I just ask you something for a second here? I saw DeLeese was up. What was the thinking there? Cause
it's an easy one for me.
But my point is that, you know, and that's normally how you would do it. Cause in a situation like that, one, I'm not entirely certain how many people would have noticed it, and two, I'm not going to do other people's work for them. So I want to find out.
Why pitch yesterday and pitching 10 games to a real baseball player? That's exactly why. And when he comes in, you don't want the first time being with a one run lead.
Yeah,
that's exactly why. He's getting the kinks out. Last night, you have to pitch him. But you had no choice.
Yeah, but my point is that's one of those things. I think you would probably ask the manager if you wanted an answer. I don't think
maybe it's a little common sense thing that he hasn't pitched to a real big league hitter in 10 days.
The other point about Jay Happ.
Jay Happ's got a 5.5 ERA.
I got to do better.
Steven Matz is Jay Happ for me. They need a dominant right-handed pitcher who can get the Yankees lineup out.
Yeah, I'm with Bark in that. They got Jay Happ five times over in this team.
They sure do. Anthony Kaye's Jay Happ.
Yeah, now if the Minnesota Twins, if I'm looking to lengthen my rotation, the Minnesota Twins want to give me something for absolutely nothing.
They're not going to.
You know, then maybe I do it. But the one thing I will say, Jay Happ does, you know, he knows his way around the American League East.
I'm just going to throw this out to you. I know the first people I'd be calling about Max Scherzer. How many prospects do you want for Max? If you really think you're legitimately in this thing and you got a chance with the American League and how the Yankees are doing, you know, the Yankees aren't a great team this year. They're an okay team.
Let me throw this out to you. And I'd be interested actually in knowing what callers think about this. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, or text us 590-590. I'd be interested in what people think about this. My initial reaction when you said Max Scherzer is it's not going to happen. We know that Max Scherzer is going to be a free agent. Will likely re-sign with Washington eventually. All that
he
stuff.
Can still maybe, do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But here's my point. if you are the Blue Jays, now work with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the Blue Jays and you are playing in Toronto in front of fans, does that change the equation for you? In other words, you are a contending team,
mm-hmm.
obviously,
mm-hmm.
but you're not playing in front of your home fans. Does that change the equation? In other words, if the Jays are up here, let's say the Jays, well, they won't be up here before the trade deadline anyhow, I don't think they could be up here before August 1st. But if the Jays thought that there was a chance that they would be playing a month of regular season games up here
yeah.
and postseason, does that change your thinking at all?
I would hope not. I would hope that it depends on the guys in that locker room. You know, that they seem to think that they can carry a trophy across the field. It doesn't matter what we think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they think. And right now they're showing us that they may be able to do that. And again, the American League East is, you could throw four teams against the wall and pick any four of them, and you'd have a pretty good idea that might be who's going to win it. Because you never know. But, yeah, you got to take a run at it, don't you? You got to give them a little bit of hope and say, we got your back. That's what I'm saying.
Matt in Toronto has got a different take on the La Russa thing. I'm going to throw it out there. Hey, Jeff and Barker, I hate the take sign went up by a ton. To me, it's worse sportsmanship to work walks and extend games than it is to swing at bad pitches and likely get yourself out and end the game faster.
Mm.
He said, the old boys have it backwards. I used to pitch, and I was always hoping guys would swing at my pitches and we were down by a lot. It's a way worse for me to be walking guys and slowing the game down. Matt, again, I get back to this thing. Who is disrespecting the game of baseball more? Rocco Baldelli, because he's got a position player pitching in a game?
Yeah.
Instead of one of his 15,000 pitchers? Or your mean Mercedes, because he sees a 47-mile-an-hour meatball coming at him? And he's sitting there. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. Do you think he wants to be in Hey, Freddie Freeman. I saw Freddie Freeman three days in a row.
May have got him in a slump.
It was funny. Anthony Rizzo struck him out. That was hilarious.
There you go.
We were all laughing about it. That's funny. Mm-hmm. It's great. Oh, that's... Well, if that's the case, then why the hell can't Freddie Freeman tee off on one of his pitches, pound it the hell out of Wrigley Field? There's got to be... You can't have it one way and not have it the other. If you put a pitcher into the position player into the game, to me, you're already making a joke of the game. And my response is, boys, go up there and hit. Now, again, we can talk about the 3-0 swinging when the managers put the take sign on. That is something you handle internally. But it sure as hell isn't something that you turn into public theater.
Mm.
We have to talk about Mike Trout. He's out for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody going to notice with Shohei Ohtani doing what he's doing?
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say this, but let's just imagine for a minute. Mike Trout's out for 2 months. Angels go on a roll.
They're not good.
Shohei Ohtani's the guy.
They're not good. Their pitch is not good enough, do
they? Yeah, but Shohei Ohtani has got He's got the team to
himself. I'll say he's so good that I stay up late to watch it. And they play late.
They play really late.
There you go.
Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Do you put him in the Home Run Derby?
Oh, you ask him. Why wouldn't he? It's Denver.
You know what happens. You go in the home. Hey, y'all, but my oblique.
I mean.
Jesus, my oblique. Oh, my calf.
He's a max effort swinger anyway. He doesn't have to change a thing in the Home Run Derby.
All right. Got Jeffrey in Aurora. He's got some thoughts on Tony La Russa and position players pitching. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
About position players pitching in general.
Yeah.
It kind of strikes me as a context thing. I think about position players pitching, and it makes me think of two occasions on the Blue Jays recently. Well, the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
One time we had Luke Maley pitching,
yep.
and another time we had Kendrys Morales pitching. Both, I think, were ninth-inning games on a series where the Jays were badly losing, and it was the final game of the series, and you were going into a big homestand. Nothing happened in those games, so there was really nothing to talk about. Is it a contextual thing as well?
I mean, it's not for me because I've said from the start that I think it's dumb. I think there should be a rule against position players pitching. You've got enough arms. And you know what? Everybody talks about using your bullpen and how that's an important part of strategy. Using your bullpen when you're getting your ass handed to you is an important part of your strategy too. And I'm sorry, I don't need, think back to that Canada Day game. Now, okay, there's a different example. That Canada Day game where Ryan Goins hurt himself pitching for the Blue Jays, right? And that game, that was a close game. That is, you know, that was a completely different picture. But I don't like, and thanks very much for the call, Jeffrey. I don't like asking guys to do stuff that they don't normally do. And I know position players love pitching. There's some guys who want to do it. You ask them for it. Hell yeah, I'll go out there. I'll throw like an Ephus and I'll throw.
Yeah.
You're funny. A professional.
You know
man.
What's funny? Anthony Rizzo came out of the game yesterday, I think it was, because of his back. Think that had anything to do with his pitching?
I don't know.
Probably didn't help.
But I keep.
Make any sense.
Keep going back. Keep thinking about that. Everybody laughed when poor old Freddie Freeman struck out.
Yeah. Ha ha.
Ha. Funny.
Funny, funny.
All right. If that's good enough for you, if that theater is okay for you, then what's wrong with the guy saying, I'm not going to look like a jackass. Screw that.
Yeah.
I'm launching this. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Wayne from Thornhill. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Wayne.
Max Scherzer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, look, I know they're a young team, and they're probably maybe a little bit ahead of where we thought they would be right now. And I think you got to try Hatch and maybe Manoah, because obviously we have some problems in the starting rotation, but hopefully we can fill that internally. But if we can't, is it not like what Houston maybe did, although a few more years advanced, by picking up Verlander close to the deadline? I mean, does this guy not put you over the top if you only need three starters maybe in a series?
He does, but they signed Verlander.
Yeah, true.
They knew Verlander they had a read that Verlander was going to stay, whereas I think most people look at Max Scherzer. I believe he's a Boris client. I don't think that makes much difference anymore, but I think most people look at Max Scherzer and think he's going to try the free agent market. Look, here's the thing. If you are the Washington Nationals, and thank you very much for the call. If you're the Washington Nationals and you know that you're going to re-sign Max Scherzer, then maybe you're looking at the Blue Jays offer. You know, if the Blue Jays are going to offer me Jordan Groshans for a guy I know I'm going to get back next year, and that's going to leave me Jordan Groshans and
Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Yeah, and it's, I'm going to have him and Max Scherzer next year, then maybe you go ahead and do it.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe you go ahead and do it.
Max Scherzer has 68 punchouts and 51 in the third innings. ERA's 2.10. To say that he would be an addition to this rotation, you have him and Ryu and Robbie Ray.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Brian from Richmond Hill. Don't go anywhere. We'll get back to the text line as well. This is Baseball Central. It is walk-off Wednesday on Baseball Central. Let's see if Brian in Richmond Hill can be the guy we put up at the plate when it's 16-4 and give you the 3-0 count and have you swing away. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. I love the show, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I think you nailed it on the head. This team is a contender, and I think I really feel that with a move like Scherzer or somebody like that, even a Kyle Hendricks maybe from the Cubs, if they fall out of it, and I think they will, I think that this team can contend for a World Series title this year. I think they're that good. Their lineup is very good, and they have a great bullpen. So, and I think they can win the American League the East as well, to be honest.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think you're probably going to be, thanks, Brian, you're probably going to be the guy to walk us off. Kyle Hendricks is a good tout. That's a good tout. The Cubbies are going to move a lot. Theo Epstein's no idiot. There's a reason Theo Epstein got the hell out of Dodge with the Chicago Cubs.
Now, Hendricks is a right-handed Ryu. So that's
true.
You know, I just think when it matters, September, October, you need swing and miss stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does Kyle Hendricks have swing and miss stuff? Probably not. You know, again, if he sets them up and can put them away with something elevated, maybe. But I'm looking for the guy that you know it's coming, and you can't do nothing about it.
By the way, Jason in Etobicoke says he's missed me ranting about almost said the word. Buck Farmer. I've missed Jeff ranting about Buck Showalter. I'm looking forward to Tony La Russa being Showalter 2021. Old man ranting. Thank you, Jason. That's right. He Tony La Russa could be the new Buck Showalter.
Yeah.
He could be. Because you're with the times, Jeff.
That's what you are.
No, that stuff
the game's
just
different.
No, that stuff just pisses me off. Like don't throw your player under a bus,
and backed over it again, you know. And then ran over him again. And
essentially, yeah. Go ahead, throw it, my guy.
Yeah, do it.
I got your back. Tim Anderson's sitting there right now, going, "What?
Okay, Tony, I should be able to punch you in the neck three times. If I get thrown at, it hurts getting thrown
at. I'm serious. I think we're seeing a situation where the Chicago White Sox are going to sit down and they're going to say, boys, we got Uncle Festus managing this team. Like, this guy, you need to empty the drool bucket every morning with Tony La Russa. Boys, there's only one way we're gonna win this for us.
Yeah, he does.
Just sit there and nod when the old man babbles on about, this is Dave Duncan and I used to do it this way. Just nod your head.
Have you ever watched his Zoom calls?
Yeah.
He looks like he needs to drink a Coke before he goes on. He's half asleep. He does.
At least he's not sitting in his car, the engine running half asleep.
Right, anyway.
Enough of that. Phil and Cortice, Darwin Barney pitched in that Canada game, too, that went 19 innings. He points out 19 innings are a thing of the past now. He's right. So does that factor? Because we know you're going to have extra innings. You're only going to have that to me makes it even right there. That's even another reason to use your
one more bullpen arm. No position players ever.
Okay, now Doug and Branford. This is perceptive because this is a name that I'd thought of coming into the station, and I had completely forgotten about it after I did my COVID test. Which is good. I studied for it hard, so I passed today. Put a little extra work in.
Oh, I took it off.
I got my little thing here. But I had to work a little. I was a little uncertain about yesterday's test. I failed the multiple choice, so I went back and hit the books.
When in doubt, see.
Yeah, I think I got like a 72%. Anyhow, Doug and Branford, all off season, all I asked for was a contract for Taiwan Walker. Had they done that, there'd be no move to make. Doug has a point.
Okay, I ask you this. So Doug, you would be okay with Taiwan Walker being the opening game starter?
No.
Because that's why this is the guy you're going out to get.
Well, you're not
going to pitch the first game of the playoffs. You got enough guys to pitch the second, third game.
3 minutes left. You changed the.
No, I did not. This is the whole point in trading a top prospect, a guy like a right fielder or left fielder in the big leagues.
So then, you know, forget all those guys like Herman Marquez or Luis Castillo. I mean, Castillo's
Barrios is a good guy.
Oh, you'd rather have him than
a guy that can strike you out.
Wow,
that's my.
All right, now you threw us a changeup.
You worry about next year. You worry about this year.
Now you threw me a change up there. I will say this. I won't sit here and criticize the Jays front office because they weren't more aggressive in going after Taiwan Walker. Because at the time, I said, you got to do better than Taiwan Walker. And would you be better with Taiwan Walker in your rotation? Absolutely, you'd be better with Taiwan Walker pitching the way he is now. Absolutely. You would be better with Taiwan Walker. If you ask me, does having Taiwan Walker in the rotation make me think that you've got a legit shot at the World Series?
Yeah.
I don't know if he changes the equation that much for me.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Yeah, and you bought George Springer for September and October.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Here's a question maybe we should ask. You had a choice between Taiwan Walker and Robbie Ray. Who did you go with? Because I wonder if it didn't come down to that in some ways.
Robbie Ray's cheaper.
And credit Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray jumped up right away and said, yep, sign me up.
Love Pete Walker.
Sign me up. But it is a fair question. And look, if Taiwan Walker's pitching in the All-Star game, we may be in a position where we're looking back in that.
Yeah, game. I just think you got to go out. You got to shoot for the moon. Look for that no-brainer. That guy, when you give him the ball in the first game, now I'm worrying about the second game.
Well, I'll tell you what. I do know this. When we were preceded on this show by Alex Cicero giving his update, and he almost made my stomach turn when I heard Alex Cicero, whom I love very much, utter these words: the Blue Jays go for first place tonight with Ross Stripling on the mound. Eh? Like, okay, if I'm hearing that on May 19th, all right. But, folks, if it's September 19th, and we're still alive, and Alex Cicero comes on and says, Jays and Yankees tonight with first place on the line. Ross Stripling takes them out for the Blue Jays. I will be doing this. I will be pounding my head on the table.
You really should buy a van and motivational speak throughout Canada.
You should. Who walked us off, Mr. Brandeo? I do believe it was. Brian walked us off.
Guys, I think you nailed it on the head. This team is a contender, and I think I really feel that with a move like Scherzer or somebody like that, even Kyle Hendricks maybe from the Cubs, if they fall out of it, and I think they will, I think that this team can contend for a World Series title this year. I think they're that good. Their lineup is very good, and they have a great bullpen. So I think they could win the American League East as well, to be honest.